face my fear. Well, welcome everybody. Good to see you here today. And welcome to our online community. It's great to have you along. And, you know, wherever you find yourself in, like, it's really, whether you're in a blanket or, like, in front of the fire or whatever, it's always a good thing to be nice and warm. So I'm preaching today, and I always take, don't take this lightly, and don't take it for granted that I get to preach the Word of God. So after all that, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Marichelle, and I'm part of the team here. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew. We're going to read this together. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Father, I thank you for your word right now. Father, I pray for this word, that you would anoint this word and that I'll deliver it with conviction and clarity, Father. Lord, I pray that your word will come alive into each and everyone's circumstances this morning, Lord. Do what you do, Father God, and you know I've prepared, but I pray, Father, that this word will be applied in each and every person's heart this morning. Bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Who do you say I am? So, in our team meeting setting, Pastor Tony has asked the same question of us. He started off the team meeting and said, "Who do you say I am?" And we're all wondering, what's he asking this question for? Like, why does he want to know? Like, we're all scratching our heads thinking, oh, I better think of something palatable to say, you know? Like, you know, like, you know, is this a trick question? Like, does he want some, you know, encouraging moments just to start the meeting off? So, you know, I can hear people's, like, the team's brains were ticking a lot. I can hear, and even mine, I was thinking, God, what am I going to say? Like, what is it? Like, you know, because, you know, I have known Pastor Tony and Cheryl for 24 years. Now, that's a long time. That's half of my life. Wow. 24 years, that's half of my life. And in those 24 years, there's different seasons and chapters and years have gone by where there's different phases and chapters of the book about who Pastor Tony is to me. Now, I started off, he was a Bible college principal. I was a student. He is a pastor. He's still my pastor. You know, he is my mentor, my boss. He calls me boss often, like, you know, hey, boss. But he's the boss of bosses.
Yeah,
amen. Yeah. He's a counselor. And all those other things. And you know, he's my employer. He's my mentor. He's my guide. He's been a father figure to me. And, you know, I was thinking, all right, that's kind of sums it up a little bit, you know. It's okay. And so everybody, like, you know, told Pastor Tony, who he is, and with a sigh of relief, we all answered correctly. Because you see, it's not about, he didn't ask that question because he wanted to have an ego trip, you know, he wanted to have a confidence boost, or he wanted to have a validation, because he's quite secure in himself, if you would know this. He wasn't fishing for compliments. He wasn't having this, oh, I want to have a warm, fuzzy moment.
Earrings.
Huh?
Your earrings.
Oh, okay. Do I have to use this now?
Yeah,
because
your earrings are in the way.
Okay. Oh, well, yeah, that'll be good.
I have the same problem.
Hang on. Just hold. A minor technical difficulty. How do you take this off? There you go.
Now you're off.
Yeah. Okay. Take two. He didn't ask those questions because, yes, he wanted some type of validation or wanted to some compliments. But he asked those questions because he said to us, this question and your perspective of me will determine our go forward as a team. Your opinion of me determines how we build as a team and in our church, how we build and go forward as a church. It was important for him to know what we think about him, because it will determine the type of relationship we will have. And you know, this is true and same of God. I believe it's important for us to take a moment and ask ourselves, or allow Jesus to ask that of ourselves, that same question of, who do you say I am? Who do you say Jesus is?
Yes.
What do you say about Jesus when things get hard or difficult? What do you say about Jesus when times are tough? What do you say about Jesus when your marriage and your relationship and your kids have gone astray? What do you say about Jesus? Because how you perceive God determines your go forward in life. The title of my message this morning is The Great Question. Have you ever heard, when someone asks you something and they don't know the answer, they say, that's a great question. That's a great question. You know, as human beings, we ask Jesus a lot of questions, but you got to remember that Jesus has questions of us. You know, I really felt in my heart to preach this, and because that particular question, when Pastor Tony asked of that as a team, it's part of a number of things that kind of thought, okay, this is a good thought for me to share in church. You know, this is not about a feel-good sermon. I'm not here to tickle your ears today, but it's about coming to a place and a space for you to realize and to understand and have a revelation of who God is.
Right.
Because sometimes in the last couple of years, our identity and our confidence has been shaken, hasn't it?
Yeah.
The last couple of years that's done that. Life has thrown us things that we are trying to now rebuild and recover from. And some of us have never been the same. Some of us have allowed the curveballs of life to become our conclusion. So at the end of my sermon, I pray, this is my prayer for each and every person here on this auditorium and online. My prayer is that you will have a revelation of who God is, and that you have a better perspective and a view and a filter of who God is to you. At the end of my message, I want us all to have a place and a space where you will allow Jesus to go into the spaces in your heart and in your life where you've never allowed him into. So I have 3 points for you today. And I want to spend a little bit of time and use this passage of scripture as this, because there's so much richness. And I want you to notice the transition in this book. The great question, number one, Who do you say I am? Jesus wants to know. Jesus wants to know, who do you say I am? You know, in my 20s and 30s, I thought that Jesus was this kind of like, I know he was God and everything, but I never had this understanding of who he really is. I thought he was this kind of like, well, you know, he's just waiting for me to make a big mistake and he's going to pounce on me and have a 4B2. And this concept of God is like, you know, wait, I'm going to punish you. That's the concept I had. And that's my 20s, 30s, and even throughout Bible college, I had that kind of fear, that not like a fear of God, but it was a warped sense of fear of God. Did you know that there are 7 statements that Jesus said who he was? I want to read this to you. John 6:35, it says, I am the bread of life. John 8:12 says, I am the light of the world. John 10:7 says, I am the door of the sheep. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And John 15:1 says, I am the vine. The 7 profound I am statements gives us clarity of who he is. Now I thought and I asked, why is there only 7? Why is there only 7? That's a great question. This 7 statements is not because it's God's number 7, because I believe these 7 statements encompasses everything that we will ever need in Jesus. Jesus' question, who do you say I am? Said is not a sign of ignorance. The question to the disciples was not motivated by, you know, self-conceit or vanity. Jesus had no desire to fish for compliments. Jesus's question was aimed at provoking the disciples to consider their level of faith. When Jesus asks a question of you, not just this one, but any other question, he doesn't do it because he needs to know something. He asks the question because you and I need to know something. And the question itself gives us an opportunity to think what we really do believe, who we really are, and what we're building our life on. It also gives us an opportunity to repent and return. You see, it doesn't matter what the crowds say or others say about who I am, who Jesus is, because the disciples say, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, and some say all of this stuff. Jesus wanted to know from the disciples who he is to them. You know, everyone will have an opinion and a perspective, but the important thing is that you and I know who Jesus is. Do you know who Jesus is? Do you really, really know who Jesus is? Is your perspective of him comes from the things that you have read? Or from Wikipedia? Or from citations or journals and articles? Or from Google? Because apparently Google knows everything. Because who... your perspective will determine your posture.
Yes, right.
Who do you say I am when you are worried about your kids? This is Jesus asking. Who do you say I am when you are worried about your finances? Or you're stressed and you look around you, there's turmoils and a lot of things happening in our world. Who do you say Jesus is then? Who do you say Jesus is when you're sick and you've been battling some health issues for a number of years? Who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is in those circumstances? Because your revelation will determine your relationship with him. Now look at this in verse 17, if I can get through this, what's going on. Jesus asked of this question, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter, the bold one, have answered, and this is what Jesus said. "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." You know, the inference in this passage of scripture, it's like, I don't know what Peter thought when Jesus said that to him. I said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah." I would think the inference here is that it was like a promotion. Peter would have felt good because he felt elevated and promoted in front of the disciples. But Peter's revelation of who Jesus is how he will now relate to Jesus. Because when you look at the, you know, the next chapters of the book, and in those four gospels, you know, Peter, you know, created a lot of things, and he did a lot of things because of what his relationship now is to Jesus, like kind of that increased level. You know, when you're like familiar with somebody, you kind of just like do a little bit more than what you would normally do, like not do with others, you know. So that's what I'm thinking that Peter had. Because how you relate to someone is often what you're going to get out of that relationship. You know, Jesus asked of me this same question when I was preparing this message. And I was thinking, oh, okay, God, who I am, who do you say I am, Marichelle? And I thought, God, you are my protector. You are my shield. You are my defender. You are my provider. You are my strength. Yeah. You are my peace. You are my healer.
Yeah.
God, you are all these things to me. And there wasn't any big, like, kaboom, like, you know, that he was going to change my name, because I already did that. Change my name and, like, the promises of, you know, I'm going to build something and whatever because of your revelation and who you say I am. There wasn't any of that. But what came next? It was a still small voice, and this is what he said to me. If this is what you say, who I am to you, then why do you behave differently?
Wow.
That knocked me for six, because I never thought Jesus would challenge my way of thinking, because God, you are all this to me. Why are you saying that? Like, I had a bit of conversation, and he said, well, why do you behave differently if this is who you say I am to you? More often than not, it's not what you say who Jesus is in your head, but it must align in your heart.
Right.
And I had to have this heart kind of thing where, you know, it has to be calibrated.
Yeah.
More often than not, that our compliments of Jesus turns into complaint when crisis hits our life. Jesus, you are my peace. Until something happens that disturbs that peace. Jesus, you are my provider. Until something happens when the finances have run out. Jesus this, Jesus that. Your believing must become your behaving. And your confessing must be your conditioning, not your complaint. The second great question is this. Who do you say you are? Who are you? Oh my God. Have you ever Googled yourself? Come on. It's okay. I've Googled myself. I've Googled a number of you. No, I'm not a stalker. It's okay. I've Googled. And, you know, I Googled myself about 5 years ago, actually, and, you know, all come up some things. I said, oh, yeah, not too bad. There's some kind of questionable things in there, but, you know. Yeah, okay, whatever. I Googled myself just last week. Who is Marichelle Scott? I bet you're going to go home and probably Google that or whatever. And all these come up and everything and, you know, my profession and what I did. And there's some kind of article and story in there. And I didn't think I wrote that, but apparently I did. It was a graduate story of something. And like, okay, great, okay. Well, that's not too bad. It's not like some criminal record or anything like that. So that's pretty good. Not that I've done any criminal stuff. But anyway, you know, if we're not careful, those things in cyber world can define who we are. Because if you think that, you know, in the passage what we're reading before, I'm just going to get off my notes, is that, you know, the disciples say, well, who others say who I am? And then they're saying, you know, John the Baptist, you know, Jeremiah, whatever. They're always, it feels like, and it seems like, that Jesus was defined by the things he did, but not who he was. And more often than not, that's what people will put a label on you and say, well, this is who you are, and define you by what you did, by what you are doing. It's almost like a profession, you know, like when you ask a friend, so what do you do, you know, or so how are you? They all of a sudden say, I work in an office. It's something they don't say who they are. They tell you what they do. That's what normally happens. And so, you know, if we're not careful, we can be defined what others say about us rather than what God says about us. Yeah. If we take Peter as an illustration in this passage, Peter was a man who wanted a mighty faith but faltered often. And that is the same for us. We want to follow Jesus, but there is this war inside that keeps us fighting. Now, Romans 7:15 says this, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. Now, watch this transition. Jesus was talking to Peter, and he says this, and I tell you that you, Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. So Jesus was saying after Peter's declaration that you are not Simon anymore, which has been described as a reed whose identity is based upon what everybody says. But this is what Jesus said of him. I tell you that you are, Peter, a rock. Can you see that image? A reed that gets swayed and then a rock that is stable? Because what happened? When you see Jesus for who you really are, he's going to tell you who you really are.
Great. Love that.
This was a pivotal moment for Peter because if you remember, Peter made many mistakes. He made many mistakes, and interesting to note that after Jesus declared who he is, that you are Peter, I'm going to build my church and everything like that, if you look through the passages of the Bible, he made some mistakes. He had, like, he's known as, like, he's got a foot and mouth disease. He says things like, yeah, he was just bold and, you know. Peter was full of fear and doubt. He had a failure at walking on water. Peter rebuking Jesus. Peter is presumptuous at the transfiguration in the next chapter. Peter cut off the soldier's ear. Peter falling asleep at the garden. And Peter was denied Jesus 3 times. You know, Peter, though he made many mistakes, yet he is known as one of the closest disciples of Jesus. So I want to tell you today, and I want to encourage you today, that don't let your failures, your addictions, your secrets, your habits social media and the cyber world, your bank account, your family status dictates who you are. Because when you know who God is, you'll realize that your life is not defined by the things that you have done, but by the event that happened on a hill of Calvary 2,000 plus years ago when Jesus shed his blood for you and me. When the precious Lamb of God said, I will die for you so that you can be accepted, so that you can feel that you belong. You know, Revelations 12:10 says this, that he, which is talking about Satan, is the accuser of the brethren, which means he is relentless in his accusations. When accusations come, when condemnations come, when the voices get louder and louder and you can't hear anything and it comes crushing in, you need to know who God says you are. So I want to ask you this question. Is your relationship with God strong enough that what they say about me doesn't change who I am? Or does it change because of what people have said about you? Do you kind of give more weight to what they say as opposed to what Jesus has said about you? You know, just as much that Jesus has an I am statement, which I've read to you before, you have one too. Let me read a few to you. I am accepted. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am secure. I am significant. I am God's child. I am forgiven. I am redeemed. I am restored. I am hidden in Christ. I am free from condemnation. I am God's workmanship. I am seated with Christ. I am God's co-worker. I am loved. I am a citizen of heaven. I am complete in Christ. And I'm a minister of reconciliation. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand. You are that. You are that. You have to say, I am. So when the voice gets louder, when everything seems to be crushing in, I want you to remember the I am of who God says you are. Good. I'm preaching good today. When you have a view of yourself, year after year and generation by generation, and stereotypes and generalizations shaped by your culture or by failure, you would start to believe that nothing good can come from you. And there are some of you here today and online. You are trapped not because of what you did, but by someone or something that has been done to you. There are some people here today that you've done some dumb things over the years, but yet that still dominates the perceptions of who you are and what you can be. You see, there is a part of us that believe that God is great, that God is a miracle working God, that God is a healer, and that God is a provider. But when we try to reconcile the fact of his greatness with the reality of our brokenness, we start to feel inadequate. We start to feel inferior. We start to feel insecure. And we push Jesus away. We won't let him in those corners and in those like little secret pockets of our life. It's not because we can't believe he is great. It's just that we struggle to believe that something good can come from our lives. That God can still use our brokenness to build something. You know, Peter's mistakes as a disciple and as a Jesus follower doesn't cancel his identity in Christ. And that's the same for you and me. Your revelation will determine your remaining in him, because I thought about this, because if you think that you're not good enough, why would you want to stay?
That's right.
You know, I've noticed about this, you know, I've been in church for a long time. Sometimes we rock up at church, you know, we sing a few songs, you know, we hear the preacher preach a really good message, we say a few prayers, we come to the altar. But sometimes we come with a sterile approach to God. He can't, you know, but he can't do what he really wants to do in your life because you're trapped in a prison that you created yourself. Jesus becomes limited with what he can do through our lives because we're trapped in the prison of who we were. You know, when people have said something long enough, you start to believe it. You know, when I was younger, people would always say, you never amount to anything. You can never do that. Really? I never thought I would do this. I never thought I'd, you know, I thought whenever I come to church, that, you know, the roof will cave in. I'm that much of a sinner. Don't judge me. You are one too. You have to develop your view of who God is through the prison of who you think you are. If you believe the rest of your life that you are worthless, then it will be very hard for you to worship a God who thought you were worth dying for. When God our Father sees you, he doesn't see your failures or your habits or your mistakes, your sin. He knows the things you've done and doing, but he doesn't sit there with a pen and paper and counting it all. Do you know what God sees? He sees you through the lens of what his son Jesus did on the cross. He sees you and he filters you through the love that he has of his son Jesus because Jesus has paid the ultimate price. The last great question is this. Who is the future you? Because your revelation will determine your reach. Look on verse 18. It says, "And I tell you that you, Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Because I thought about that. What is the keys to the kingdom of heaven? So it's just two keys, the kingdom of heaven. It's whatever you bind and whatever you loose. That's pretty good, isn't it? When Peter had declared Jesus' true significance, it was only after the declaration that Jesus would in turn reveal where Peter stood in the working out of God's purpose. This part is really important because when we know who Jesus is and rightfully place him as our Lord and Savior, only then we can know who is the future me, who is the future you. Our new identity in Christ forms the basis of our mission and purpose in submission to the Lordship of Jesus. So I wonder today whether you know God's purpose and plans for your life. Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. But can I say that there is so much more? There is so much more. Don't limit what God can do in your life. Don't put him in a box. He doesn't belong there. The box that you have isn't big enough. The dreams and aspirations, the ambitions, the things that God has placed in your heart, that's something. Don't ever, ever think that, oh, I'm too old, or I'm too young, or I've passed my expiry date. There is no expiration date in God's kingdom. God has placed some things in your life, and I'm talking to people online as well, and in each and every one of you, but you've kind of put a ceiling, a lid, and you thought, no, I can never do that. No, my life has turned a different path now, so I could never do that. No. God has put something in each of your heart because He knows the potential that you have. So don't say no to God. Don't say never, God. He's not finished with you yet. You might think you're finished, but He's not. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this: what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. You know, when I read that, I'm thinking, God, well, I want to know. I want to see with my own eyes. Like, I'm just one of these impatient people, you know. I want to, I've got ears, but I want to hear. But it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. So I'm waiting. God, You have great plans for me. God has great plans for you. God has great plans for your kids. God has great plans for this church. I am declaring that God has great plans for Impact Church. This is not the end. This is not where the story ends. He has great plans for you. He has great plans for you. Turn to the person next to you and say that. He has great plans for you. You know, there's this passage of scripture in Jeremiah 29:11, and it's not a cliche, but everyone knows this. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." The future that you think you are living now, that's not your future. There is more. I declare that to you in Jesus' name. There is more for you, Jared. Yeah. There is more for you. You just sit there, you think, oh no, you know, I'm just doing whatever I do, minding my own business. But God has a plan and purpose for you, Jared. I want you to receive that in Jesus' name. Jared, God has great plans for you. I don't know what He is, but when you seek Him, when you open your Bible, read through those pages and know who you are in Christ, Jesus will tell you who you are in Him. Yes. I know I've said a lot today, but the thought I have for you is this. I want to leave you with these thoughts as we finish this service. Who do you say Jesus is to you? I want you to take some time this week and really reflect and ponder on this question, because your revelation will determine your relationship with Him. Don't just have a surface answer. Don't just have an answer thinking, oh yeah, you know, this is what Jesus wants to hear for me to say. No. Don't just say what you think in your head. But I want to know who He is to you. I want to know that if He showed up to you right now, right this second, and asked you that question and say, who do you say I am? That you will have an answer. Are you included in the captain's log? Which means, are you included? Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Do you know who you are? Because your revelation will determine your remaining. Do you know who is the future me or the future you? Because your revelation will determine your reach. Before we finish the service and sing a song, I want to do two things. If you're here today and you've never really accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is your day. If you are online with us today and you have not heard the Jesus that I preach, and you don't know who you are in Christ, today is your day. Because when you know who you are, when you know who Jesus is, you will know who you are. But it's got to start where that is. Do you know the great I am? When you don't have the right perspective or a solid foundation of who Jesus is, you'll be forever meandering. You'll be forever longing and looking. So why don't we stand to our feet right now? And if you're online and God, I don't know who I am. I thought I know who I am. But God, let me have a revelation of who you are first. Because when I have a revelation of who you are, then I know who I am. And when I know who I am, then I know the purposes and the plans that you have given me, that you have for me. While no one's looking around, I want to say this prayer. If you know Jesus, that's great. But I want to continue that and have that conversation deeper. Do you really know who Jesus is? I want to say a prayer this morning that's going to come up on screen so that people online can say this prayer. I want us all to say this prayer. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you love me so much. I confess my sins and ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died on the cross and rose again on the third day. Please come into my heart as my Lord and my Savior. Take complete control of my life and help me walk with you. From today on, I am living for you. I give my whole heart. I give you my whole life. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness and make me a brand new person. Set me free in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. If you have prayed that prayer today, I want to see you. If you're here in the auditorium, I want to see you and just congratulate you of your decision to know who God is. And I want to see you at the front. If you said that prayer and you're online, I want you to just say yes on that comment, and one of our teams will come and follow up with you and help you take the next steps in your journey with God, in following Jesus. So today, church, why don't we just lean in and ask? I'm going to open the altar this morning. If you are in need of prayer and you want to just know Jesus more, or you want to know who you are, because sometimes, you know, we have no idea who we are. But I want to open the altar. If you would like to come, it's open as we sing this song and lean into God and have a God moment.
Jesus.
blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Father. Thank you, that, Lord, that you died on the cross for my sins, for every person's sins. For you have loved the world, for you so much loved the world that you gave your one and only Son. So then, Lord God, we can have an eternal life with you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, church, I hope that message has run through for you, and that this week I encourage you to ponder on that message. Because Jesus is going to ask you one day, who do you say I am? Thank you, church. The cafe is open for some hospitality. Why don't you come and connect with people this morning? Our food outlet is open again this morning. If you want to grab some groceries there, you may avail yourself. Connect this week. And don't forget, this Saturday, men's feast. Go and register at the Arc.